Well, hey there. Welcome to the After the Sermon podcast, this place where we talk about the sermon from Sunday, just dig into a little more of the scripture, maybe some details that we couldn't get to just because of the amount of time that we have on Sunday mornings, as well as just some reminders of application and just the message that we shared. And I am Pastor Ben, here with Pastor Matt.
Hey, guys.
And this past Sunday was Easter, which it's crazy to think we've gotten this deep into the year already.
Yes, we can now start thinking about Christmas. Though I say that jokingly, but it's literally on our agenda to talk about here soon. It's wild how fast the calendar goes by, because it feels like we just had Christmas. But Easter Sunday is my favorite of all the holidays. It's just a joy. For us at Grace Life, it's not Super Bowl Sunday. And I get irritated when I see pastors just say, "This is Super Bowl Sunday. Invite your friends over." They're like, "No, this is what we should be doing every week." But it is a great opportunity to just all of our attention. And as I mentioned in the sermon, it is good for us to stop and look at the empty tomb. And so we did. And what a joy it was. And the best part about it is we get to do it again this coming Sunday. It's not just one and done. I mean, for the people of Israel, they would have the Day of Atonement and they would have to look ahead for another year. And we look ahead. I mean, every day we live in this resurrection hope, but to come together as a church weekly and celebrate it is remarkable.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we've been going through now since the beginning of the year, the Bible and talking through the story of grace. Then every Sunday, really, regardless of this being the theme of this series that we're taking through the Bible in a year, right? The grace that Jesus provides is why we come together every Sunday anyway.
Yeah, it's really a, I mean, it's why we share God's grace with every life. But I think one of the realities is that we lose sight of how remarkable God's grace is, how amazing it is. And that's why even at the beginning of the sermon, wanted to just say, hey, it's in order for us to see and behold the amazing grace, we have to understand how it saved a wretch like me. And the atonement, the story of the Day of the Atonement, kind of provides that backdrop of the reality is we're born in sin, we're dead, we are born in the grave. But because Jesus walked out of the grave, he then extends grace to all people, as we've been memorizing for the last few months.
Yeah, and you know, we're wrapping up this part one of the series two, and so found ourselves in Leviticus on Sunday morning to look at all the specifics of, you know, what is the Day of Atonement? What was God asking of the people of Israel? What was the point of it all? Because certainly, you know, the good news for us is we're not having to do these ritualistic sacrifices year after year.
Could you imagine? It was like, I mean, you know, every week we get together and we walk through what does a Sunday look like? And so we walk through every part of the program. Could you imagine if there's a service where we had to be like, okay, you slit the throat last year. Do I have to do it? Or you did such a good job, you could do it. And have to add that in into our worship now. Just, I mean, the smells and the violence and the blood, but all of it is pointing to Jesus. And I love that. I think, I mean, we enjoy getting to do this podcast weekly. Most weeks, I would say. But I think to this episode, the day is actually great because Sunday's Sunday sermon, I mean, you know, I even told my life group, just, it's so, the Day of the Atonement is just so much death. Like, I just didn't want to focus on death. I wanted to focus on the hope of the resurrection. I even told you, like, if we had a Good Friday service this year, and we took a break from it this year, this would have been, the Day of the Atonement would have been the sermon. Like, week 14 of the story of grace would have been the sermon for Good Friday because of all the deaths. And it comes at, in the middle of a book that most people have a difficult time reading. It comes in chapters of a bunch of Levitical laws about cleanliness. I mean, you got, you know, being clean after disease, being clean after pregnancy. And here's this Day of Atonement. And it's the result of Aaron's sons offering up a strange fire of sacrifice to God. And God says absolutely not, and strikes them dead and says, you will come into my presence a proper way. You will be holy. You just don't lackadaisically walk in here thinking I could do whatever, which is how many of us approach our relationship with God, right? And so it's in this chapter that we see, along with the Passover, maybe the greatest display of the death of Jesus written down in the Old Testament. And so for the next few chapters, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, it's the people of Israel, 40 years headed towards the promised land, doing this yearly, crying out to the Lord in forgiveness, hoping that he does forgive them. And he promises that he will do if they do it in a proper way. And so next week, when we get to part two and we jump ahead, way ahead to the promised land, the people are still going to be doing these sacrifices. They would still be sacrificing a lamb without blemish. They would still be symbolically putting all the sins of the people on a scapegoat and sending them out. The high priest would go through this cleansing process to be pure, to go into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. They would be doing this year in and year out, over and over and over again. David would do it. Solomon would do it. They would do it in Ezra and Nehemiah until one day Jesus would come to this earth, the perfect Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And as Isaiah promised, all the sins of the world he bore on the cross. He would die, and 3 days later, he would rise again, ending the sacrificial system, according to Hebrews. Hebrews tells us that he once and for all died for the sins of the world. And it was finished because he walked right out of the grave. And where Paul proclaims in 1 Corinthians 15, O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And so the Day of Atonement, with all the death, with all the blood, with all the violence, points to the crucifixion, which leads to the grace that we get to experience day in and day out.
I think you made a good point to, you know, the connection from last week, and talking about God's presence in the various ways, and then this in the Old Testament, this way of being able to properly come to God, to be near his presence, right? Because the sinful man can't be in the presence of a perfect God. And so this is the closest that of Israel could. But then for Jesus, then, to be our atonement, because God wants to deal with our sin and wants to bring us into his presence.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the book of Hebrews refers to that as Jesus. He's the covering. He's the atonement. What that word means, like, he has done all of this for us. And so it breaks my heart for Jewish people who continue to do this Day of Atonement yearly, Yom Kippur, in the fall, in hopes that God will forgive their sins. And they just completely miss Jesus. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it takes a lot of faith to believe that Jesus is alive and that he's risen again. And so why is the angel said in Luke 24, why are you searching for the living among the dead?
Yeah, I think there's application there too of when we, as we fight against our sin nature, you know, that when we're seeking out sin, right, we're basically seeking out the opposite of that. We're seeking out the dead rather than the living.
Right. Right.
And to see, you know, you had made the point, I think it was early on in the sermon, but, you know, that we understand the goodness of God's grace more once we understand the fullness and the depth of the consequence of our sin.
Yeah, you think of what the grave represents. I mean, there is a giant stone in front of this hole. If you are inside, you're not getting out. Even if you are alive, right? Because to have the momentum to roll this stone away from the inside, you wouldn't have the leverage to roll it out. So no human being could do this. And so how amazing to think that we were in the grave as Jesus is the one who, because he walked out of the grave alive, fully alive, physically alive, he yells like he yells to Lazarus, come forth out of the grave. Come forth. You don't have to live there. You don't have to be dead there. You can have life and life abundantly. And I think this is why we see Jesus weeping in that story. I think it does break the heart of Jesus to know that he died for people who continue to live in dead in their sins. When he offers, he is the resurrection and the life. And so to stop and think of, boy, I'm in a bad spot here. This is not good, right? And that's understating it drastically. But there's the hope of the resurrection that we can be made alive because of Jesus.
So as we think through this idea of, as you started your sermon, moving from grave to grace, right? Obviously the autocorrect element.
Yeah.
Aside. But
yeah,
you know, what can we do to help ourselves not have half a foot in the grave and sort of the other part of it sort of reaching out for the way out?
Yeah. So the people of grace need to understand three things. They need to understand, first and foremost, that we're gospel champions. That's one of our family traits. It's there for a reason, that we're champion. Christ's victory over sin and death is our victory over sin and death. And so we have to understand that the resurrection of Jesus graciously brings victory over sin and death. Like, you wouldn't want to go over to the loser's bracket, right? And so we have to understand our position first and foremost of of who we are because of Jesus. The second thing is, because of who we are in Jesus, we don't have to live like we're dead anymore. And so the resurrection of Jesus graciously brings power over sin. That's why Paul says in Philippians that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I don't want to live in my sin anymore, but I'm living in the power of a resurrected Jesus. And so I don't have to give in to greed or pride or lust or fear or anxiety or whatever. You just keep naming those things that weigh us down. And so the author of Hebrews says, lay aside every weight that you keep clinging to and hold fast to the power of the resurrection that is in you, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross. I think I just combined five different Bible verses there. But that's the beauty of scripture. It's the story of grace, right? And then for the joy, Jesus humbly went to the cross. And so we have to understand our position. We're gospel champions. We have to understand the power of the resurrection that Jesus has given us, that we have. He graciously gives us power over sin and death. And then we have to understand the resurrection of Jesus graciously gives us life. And seeing that the life in Jesus is far better than the life of death. Jesus over and over says, I've given you abundant life. And so you can have true hope. You can have true peace. You can have true joy in Jesus Christ alone. Everything this world has to offer is death. Everything Jesus offers is life. Which is really interesting. I didn't belabor this, but in Leviticus chapter 17, there's laws against eating blood. So it's not a great Easter content there, right? But for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. And so I think even this command to Israel, don't eat the blood, is a call to stop going back to death. Live in the light that you have in the Father. And so my encouragement to those listening is your behaviors don't change your heart. It first begins with beholding the grace of Jesus, that you were a wretched, dead sinner on your way to hell, and Jesus pulled you out of that and gave you life. What a joy. Like, it's just, he's our living hope, as we sang on Sunday.
Forward, we finished up the Green Book and starting into part two, getting into the history books and starting off with Joshua. Not spending a whole lot of time there, but we did just do a series through kind of the highlights of Joshua over the summer. And so, as always, those things be linked. But if you've gotten behind, or if you've just gotten a little bogged down because these last part of the Pentateuch is, and again, Leviticus specifically can feel very just kind of overwhelming or irrelevant.
Yeah.
But as we hop into Joshua, we're back into more story narrative kind of things, again, more historical accounts, and again, some probably familiar territory for anyone who's grown up in church, watched VeggieTales, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, we've got it's just a different, as the kids say, vibe going into this next part, where we start to see some just different cool stories. So we'll look at Rahab. We didn't get to spend a lot of time when we did our series last year. We didn't really focus on her as much. And so we're getting to look at her story in the story of grace, which is great. And then we're looking ahead to God bringing his people into the promised lands. And then despite their sin and stubbornness and stupidity, and you just keep going, he creates a people. And we see the development of the kingly line through David. We get to see some great stories, and we are really about to cover. We only have 17 more sermons in the Old Testament, which 17 only gets us to July. It's not that many weeks left before we get into the New Testament. You start to see a lot of the stories that we're going to be covering. It doesn't cover a whole lot of time period, but a lot of overlapping in the timeline once we get past David and Solomon. And so we'll get there quickly, but some great stories coming up. And we tried to just prayerfully choose stories that point to Jesus. And so we'll cover some hard stories. We're gonna get real with some stories. In fact, one story is going to be out of order because I didn't want to preach that one on Family Sunday. with the kids coming up, because it's just very graphic and detailed, and we got to have a conversation about some stuff in it. But you'll have to wait till July, I think, to get to that one, or June, I can't remember. But it's just, man, it's just incredible to see how God's grace over and over and over again is displayed. And the fact that he would establish a day to forgive the people of their sins is remarkable. It's the day their sins were forgiven. And we don't have to look ahead to that day, but we get to look back on the day when Jesus died on the cross and our sins were forgiven. And 3 days later, he showed the receipt. What joy. What joy.
Right. Well, as always, we will look forward to seeing you in Life Groups this week. If you've never been, this week is just as good a week as any to jump in. Or if you're new, if you came first Easter Sunday and then you're just looking through finding these resources, no barrier to get in. Got groups on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and just always glad to see old and new faces alike there.
Yeah, because the veil has been torn, you can walk right into a life group whenever you want to.
All right. With that, we will either see you there or see you next Sunday. As always, don't hesitate to reach out if you need anything. God bless.